Apex Express, Asian Pacific Expression.
Community and cultural coverage.
Music and calendar.
New visions and voices.
Coming to you with an Asian Pacific Islander point of view.
It's time to get on board the Apex Express.
Okay, yeah, moin moin. Hi there, welcome to Anchor Thursday on Apex Express Radio. My name is Jang, and I am a co-director at Asian Refugee United and co-founder for Kitovit Cafe Collective. Yeah, happy to be here with you all to share more about our collective.
Chào mọi người. My name is Hai. I am a member of the Kitovit Cafe Collective. We're so grateful to be here. Tonight, we're going to party. We have our Kitovits coming together. We have our first cohort of our artists and healers circle tonight to share their projects and our projects as part of our Kitovit healing and journey. Yeah, each of us are going to start by introducing ourselves, and then we'll go from there.
Hi friends, my name is Ai. I am a queer non-binary Viet from San Jose. I got involved in the circle back in, I believe, 2018-2019 after attending the Haibajang School of Organizing down in SoCal and meeting other queer Viets who told me about Kitovit Cafe. And from there, I got really interested, was invited to plan one of the intergenerational feasts of resistance for that year, the Year of the Pig. And from there, I was able to meet so many other Kitovits and stay involved. Super grateful to be a part of the circle. It's been wonderful getting to know everyone and their creative journeys.
Hello, this is Jean. I use they, them pronouns. I've been a part of Kitovit Cafe for the past 4 years. I think I and I were in the same cohort. Yeah, it just really combined my love of community organizing, food justice, being a part of just other queer and trans Vietnamese people, which is, despite living in a little Saigon and growing up there, really hard to find. So I'm grateful to be a part of this space and happy to be a part of this interview, which I really view as a celebration of our many accomplishments.
Hi everyone, my name is Irene Van. I go by they, them pronouns. I am trying to think how far back I've been in Kitovit. Maybe from the beginning when there was a collaboration with Viet Unity, an organization also out here in the Bay Area. And so it's just been such a wonderful, amazing, magical experience to have seen it go from the beginning to where it is now. And it's always been such a beautiful space where I feel all my identities can exist at once. So I'm super thankful to be here for this interview today.
Hey everyone, my name is Phoebe. I use they, them pronouns. Yeah, I've been a part of the Kitovit Collective for about 4 years since like 2018. I feel like Kitovits everywhere. I first met Chang through A-Pink, which is now known as Lavender Phoenix. And I've seen Kitovit folks in Viet Unity and other spaces as well. And yeah, I really love Kitovit Cafe because that's where I first learned how to cook Vietnamese food and also how to speak Vietnamese a bit. And now I'm doing art, which is amazing.
Wow, amazing. Cảm ơn mọi người. Thanks everybody for introducing yourself. So now I'm going to share my screen with a picture of something familiar to us from one of the past events. And I'm going to invite us all to maybe just, yeah, take a few moments to look at it. And I'm going to invite us into a little bit of a short meditation. And then afterward, we can share what's come up for us as the start of this interview. So this is when I thought of today's interview and what I wanted to do for this opening, this picture comes to mind. So yeah, if you want to take a few deep breaths while just looking at this picture, see maybe the different texture, the colors, if there are memories or things that come to you, right? This is a bowl of gọi lạc sinh, right? That Sal's and Nancy's mom, Go Yin Mai, taught us how to make for actually the 2019 intergenerational feast of resistance, right? Yeah, so many different colors, beautiful colors in there. Lotus fruit, lotus stems, carrots, coriander. This is totally vegetarian. So there's some vegetarian meats in there, some sesame seed. So yeah, take it in. And whenever you feel ready and able to, you can lower your gaze or you can close your eyes. And I just want to invite you all to think about what maybe about this dish in particular that you remember, if you were able to enjoy it, or if not, any memories from your family or different ways of connecting to this salad, right? Maybe what taste, dual mang, gai dang, sweetness, little bit sour, salty, spicy, or like even bitter that encompass in this dish. Maybe what smell touched upon our five senses. You know, take a few more deep breaths in and out, breathing in, smell the salad, breathing out, remembering how it tastes, the texture on the tongue, how crunchy it is. And whenever you are ready, you're welcome to come back. I'm going to open up with the first question, share who you are again. And with this little opening meditation or just grounding, what comes for you? Yeah, open floor for everybody.
I can start. This is Irene Van. I go by they, them pronouns. I think when I think of gai, I think of the sweetness, the crunchiness, and all the textures in my mouth. And it's a great metaphor for this group. I think our group is super, comes with so many different experiences that are all interconnected. And when we come to this space, we make something really delicious together. we're all have these different ingredients that come together. So it's really beautiful. And I'm reminded of one of the feasts where we got to cook food with the elders for the first time at the first intergenerational feast, and how that shifted so much in my body, what it meant to be able to be queer and non-binary in a house with an elder learning food recipes for our community, and how that was such a radical idea. Because for whatever reason of feeling not accepted within our own homes, to have that experience and to have those elders come to our show that day, I think that was a moment where I was, oh my gosh, this is something really potent here around the cutie Viet magic of the space. And so I was just taken aback to that time period, that memory.
Oh, hey everyone, this is Phoebe. I use they, them pronouns. Yeah. When I think about this salad, I'm, wow, as I'm eating it, I want some more. And oh, wow, it's very abundant. And it's like, it's a nice balance. There's so many different flavor profiles and textures going on. And I'm, as I'm eating it, is this what it's to be my full self? All of these different parts together, and bonus, and really just enjoying it and being here right now when I'm eating that salad. And that's what I felt when I was eating it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that goi is a very, very inviting salad, very, very addicting salad as well. Can't get enough, always wants to go back for seconds. It's the sweetness and the sourness, I feel, and the spice and the peanuts, if you're not allergic to peanuts, they're so good in goi. And yeah, it's a super inviting salad. It's my favorite salad. I think best salad out there is goi for sure. I think everyone should try it. And I think that also feels very relatable and parallel to Viet queerness. It's very inviting and interesting. And I think everyone should try it. This was I, by the way.
This is Jean, they, them pronouns. I really connect with what everyone has been saying. I think goi is such a very accessible recipe. It's pretty much a salad and like a vinaigrette I always think whenever we're cooking Vietnamese food, or particularly here in the States, I always wonder whether this is the same Vietnamese food that people enjoy back in the motherland. Even if we follow the same steps, the same directions, if maybe there's some minute differences within our ingredients, how we treat it, the tools that we use. I think there's always, has always been that kind of disconnection for me, but I really feel at the heart of it, looking at this photo, remembering the context in which it was made, who made it, how the knowledge was restored and passed down. I really think that what truly makes the Vietnamese food. Within some of the culture wars, there's always this, yeah, this pursuit of what is authentic food, what is authentic Asian food, diasporic food. To me, I think probably part of the difference is the ways in which that we interact with ingredients, how we treasure and honor those recipes. And I think that's really core to our message here within this collective, in terms of how do we honor practices, traditions, customs, but reinterpret in a way that celebrates wholeness, that can provide space for who we are as people in terms of our queerness, our identities, and the worlds that we want to build.
No, I'm loving whatever all of you are sharing, and yeah, really resonating with everything. This is Hai. So I remember I remember being introduced to it, and I remember being introduced to it during the OACC in 2019 for our Thet gathering. But it was also the first time that I was introduced to Sal and Nancy and their mom. And any food that we've created or conjured up, or whenever people think about Cutie Viet Cafe and the food that we make, it's always connected to the relationships and the warmth and the heart of the people involved. I've only really met their mom once. I just feel so much, I always feel the heart and the love and the warmth of their love through their food in every moment that I've eaten it. It's been interesting because my journey as a queer person, being a person, Cutie Viet person, has been exploring the depths and spectrum of love. There's so many forms of love. And so when I think about that goy, I think about what are the untold, unspoken forms of love that for me, I might have overlooked because I grew up here. Growing up for me, I wanted so much verbal affirmation and so much physical attention and so much physical embrace that I thought that associated those things as love. And didn't really think about my mom cutting me fruit, or my mom making me a meal, or my mom preparing something for school. Just those expressions of love, I feel, I just learned to find different and more forms and expressions of love that my parents have given me. And I think that for me, it's just been really beautiful to be able to choose and define for myself what is the type of caregiving and what is the type of nurturance that I want to give as a Cutie Viet person. And so when I'm making food for another person or for 200 people we do at our events, those are all forms of love and all forms of care. And it's really saying, I'm thinking about you. I really hope that our elders and the people that are making the foods that make our culture, that they're remembered, that we're remembered for the love that we want to express. And I feel so much of my experience as someone in the diaspora is to be able to evolve and redefine what that love can be. And so my relationship to this new land, my relationship to new people, my relationship to just this mycelium network of people that I don't think I would have necessarily have met if I had grown up in Vietnam. It makes me feel really grateful to redefine and also define for myself and ourselves what it means to be queer in Viet.
Right now, the term that comes to me, I just want to cop in Vietnamese. I just want to cry in Vietnamese, hearing everyone share. For me, when I think about how do we want to open up this sharing, and that I share just come to mind. I feel that's hearing everyone share, in a way, it's symbolic for me that, we all have our own different ingredients, all kind of different textures and colors that we all bring into this collective. And that's also added a new goy of liberation for us all that nourishes all of us. And when I was learning how to make this from Gina, even if if you mentioned if even if we were using the ingredients are the same, would it be different? When I try to make it, even just how hard I'm pressing the ingredient to get the vinegar out, that changes the texture of the galley as well. So I think in all of the learning and the lessons, what I recognize is that what really I think important and at the core of all of this, you know, interactions is really wanting to build and learn and creating new memories with our elders, and especially supportive queer and trans parents or supportive parents of queer and trans in the diaspora, right? And I think it took me a while to find the queer and trans community and have us all come together, and then being able to invite our parents and share the kitchen with them, learning how to cook dishes that they themselves carry and evolve, right? Here being in the state, and then now for us to learn the foundation of that and creating our own. That's, I feel, so powerful in terms of how we also been able to do that in many different ways. And yeah, Irene mentioning in 2016, I feel that's when it all started. We also started with eating, sharing meals at the table for one of, I think it was at Tracy's apartment, where we looked around the table and we're all in shock because most of us are queer and are like trans, sitting around the table, Vietnamese food with each other, trying our best to communicate with each other in Vietnamese. And for me, that was so powerful. So in terms of that context too, is food and language and how those can continue to be evolved and the medicine that it holds for us. And planning for those events take a lot of heart, it take a lot of work. And most of the time, reflecting back after the event is done is, okay, now what? So in 2020, along with the pandemic that happened, Hai and I, we were talking about, where is our heart at? How do we want to continue to build and continue to grow with each other? And that's when the concept of the queer transfit artist and healer circle come about, right? Because we just wanted to build deeper relationship with each other. What does it mean for us to be committed with each other for the next 6, 9, or 1 year, just to share about our practice, to share about our healing practice, right? And nurture those tools that we have that has been able to support us on our healing and liberation, you know, like journey, and just for us to be and be in our fullest, you know, as well. So you all were part of it. and you have been like part of the collective for even beyond the circle. But I think to lead into that, if you can share more, what are your projects that are part of the circle? Why did you choose your art modality? Yeah, what were we were talking about? We're creating a space for us to heal, and whatever art formations or whatever project that come out of it, that's, you know, it's a vehicle for us to do that. So if you can share a little bit of your process, that would be great. Yeah.
Do you want to share briefly what the circle was? Because I hear different, so people can understand what it was even about, how often we met, or how did you bring us together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel it's great with this question. Yeah, and so this one, Phoebe, for your question. So many of us were part of the first iteration and now the second iteration of the circle. I feel you can speak on whichever ones that come to you. Yeah. Yeah, hi, can I pass it to you to share background of the circle?
Yeah, so Cutie the Cafe was started 2016, and Jang was sharing just wanting a space for Kiwis to come together to create art, to express, to connect with our elders, to heal. And from 2016 until 2019, actually until early 2020, we were really focusing a lot of our energy on a few projects, right? One was the Kiwis by Night, right? Adapting our queer adaptation of Paris by Night, a very Viet diasporic phenomenon, really allowing us to fully express our artistic selves in a kind of part open mic, part showcase, part exhibit kind of extravaganza of sorts. And another kind of project we were leaning into, which some of you've already shared, were our Thut or Lunar New Year intergenerational feasts of resistance. And how could we celebrate our queer and transness and our Vietness and bring all of our identities together in a cultural celebration that's so well known in our community, and do it in a way where we are inviting our elders and our families, where our elders and our families can see us in our full selves, where it's still part showcase, part meal, part just everything in one. Those meals were, for a lot of us, our entry point into Kiribit Cafe, and where a lot of our friends and our allies came, but also a chance for our families and our elders to really see who we are and what we're doing, and a really big space for healing both ways, from us as a younger generation to our elder generation, to heal in our journey for acceptance, tolerance, love, to really be centered. We also, you know, tried other things too. We were trying to be an LLC business. We were, you know, doing workshops and different things, but really those 4 years, really trying on these showcases, these meals. And I'm just really grateful because all of us, I feel, were part of those waves, right? I know some of us have been there since day one, and folks have joined in during those years too. And Jang was mentioning what I was noticing was that we'd have such a high. February, March, it'd be thut, and it'd be like, yes, cry, 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 yes, heal. Like our elders being, oh my God, we accept you, yes, you're beautiful. Oh. And then it'd be springtime, and I'm like, where is everyone? Up until we'd get back together, maybe we'd have summer parties maybe, or we'd have fall harvest moon gatherings for Daejeon Po. But I really wanted to explore this question about what can we do together that we couldn't necessarily do on our own. And I felt, I was really, really thinking with Jang, how do we recenter our energy towards being a Kiribit cultural healing hub and really commit to each other's healing and really commit to each other's art practice? And so we just had this wildish idea, and what if we just get together more often? And what if we actually start sharing with one another what is it that we want to heal from? What is the type of life that we want to live? How do we want to be expressing? What is the art that we want to create? How can we build up not only each other's portfolios, but each other's lives and livelihoods? And so we put a call out, and we all said yes. 11 of us said yes, including the 6 of us here. And so for me, the Kiribit Cafe Artisan Healer Circle is a, let me take a breather. Okay, so for me, the Kiribit Cafe Artisan Healer Circle, it is a cohort by and for Kiribit artists and healers, making space to really deeply nurture and support our individual, each other, and collective groups, art forms, and practice, and share that creative expression with the greater community. So for me, we were meeting at least once a month for 9 months, and for this first cohort, and we would meet in between sometimes for optional creative sessions. And it culminated in another showcase in May 2020. And so the 6 of us here, the 6 out of 10 artists who did a piece or did pieces were part of that showcase. And yeah, I think I'm just grateful that all of you said yes and keep saying yes to this concept. And yeah, I just want to bring back Jang's questions about, also, why did you say yes? Why did you join the circle? How did you benefit? What did you really want with being a part of this circle? What came out of it? What piece or what art did you end up doing? What was that modality? How was that process for you? What was that journey for you? And yeah, was that good, Irene? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Okay, I can go first. This is Jean again with they, them pronouns. Yeah, that was a lot. Just a lot of context. I think I really appreciate us coming back and thinking about how we arrived here, I always think, for me, what does it mean to be Vietnamese? And I think the answer is very different depending who you ask. My mom always says, if I were to go to Vietnam, they would not consider me Vietnamese. Does speaking Vietnamese make one Vietnamese? Some people think it does. That might be like one possible answer. Eating the food, Vietnamese food, knowing the history. I was born here in the US and I was born around other Vietnamese people. But I guess the weight of what it actually means to be Vietnamese, in addition to all my other stuff, being queer, being non-binary, I think being a part of the collective space really helped me anchor in what that definition means to me. I really feel as people of color, as queer and trans people within the US, we are part of captive groups, marginalized people. And I think one part that really, to me, was healing in terms of helping me understand myself, was uncovering these parts of Vietnamese identity that is rooted in anti-imperialism, anti-colonization, learning about how do we have ancestors. We have so many documentation, history, so many warriors who have lived on before us, who in their own way challenged what it meant to be conquered or what it meant to be marginalized. And so for me, I carry that on when I think about artwork, when I think about creation, when I think about building community. I think I mentioned this before, but I'm always kind of not really sure that I'm experiencing the same reality as other people. And so I think from my art background is, as you know, a painter, is draftsmanship, drawing and painting. Painting helps me at least mark down through pigment what I can see. And I think I'm really particularly interested in a form of artwork that's based in, you know, reverence. You know, this European 19th century style portraiture that like nobles, governors, really, you know, rich people get to commission artists and see themselves revered. I'm interested in turning that, taking that lens and applying it to ourselves as queer people. And that was the basis of what I did last year. It's something I'm still continuing on right now in terms of building up my skills, training my eye, learning how to really communicate what I see visually. Yeah, so that's basically really what I've been up to. I think being in COVID, being quarantined, one of the few upsides is that it's given me more time to be mindful of how I spend my time, mindful of what I want to invest my time in doing or getting better at. And so, you know, with this period, I would really develop more into what does this form of observational drawing, how can I really push it in terms of these boundaries? How can I tie it with my identity? How do I create meaningful art that's not just simply, I don't know, Xeroxing something? I think art is meaningful when it's thoughtful. I think art is meaningful and good when you can really feel intent behind it. And so for me, I'm trying to think about how do I push myself? And it's honestly an ongoing process. One, I think, really great part of the circle is because we're in community as artists and many of us have very different disciplines, we really can learn a lot from each other's mediums. And we have a shared protective space where we can talk about these things and get feedback and critique. So yeah, I'm actually very interested in learning what other people are up to.
I can go next. This is Irene. I go by they, them pronouns. I'm really sitting with what Hai, you said about if you weren't living here in the diaspora here on this land, you wouldn't maybe be able to meet the same people. Because that really struck me, because I think I have a lot of grief when I think about us being diaspora and not living on the homeland. But when you said that, I was, wow, it's weirdly feels this blessing now, or a gift that we've been given to be in community with each other. Right. I don't know if I would turn back time knowing that I got to meet you all and that we're building community together and we're becoming the ancestors we wanted in this diaspora. So now I'm, whoo, okay, let me shift how I feel and still hold that grief. But I think it's holding that tension, that complicated Yes, yes, Jean, the multiverse from Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I just want to say that first. When I joined the Kirivit circle, I think I wanted to just hang out with my friends. I love all the people in Kirivit. So, okay, let's just hang out monthly. Let's talk about art and healing, which I think naturally comes up when we hang out anyways, and to create an intentional space. What I didn't realize was how important or essential this space was going to be for me. I had gone through a really terrible breakup where I was with someone and I shared my hopes for my gender journey around possibly exploring hormones and other things. And my partner broke up with me 2 days after proposing to me. So it left my world really shattered. And coming to Kirivit Cafe each month was how I held on. When that happened, it was such a huge rejection of who I was as a person that I went through a phase of a lot of really self-hatred, a lot of wondering if I could be loved again or wondering if I could be loved for my fullness. And coming back to Kirivit and seeing everyone's faces and being able to be in my full self was that once a month shot that I needed to keep going. So And I had no idea what I wanted to write about, but I think we had all these moments where we got to just journal, draw, and a lot of the stuff that came up was trying to heal from that breakup. And so what I chose to put on was poems about, one of the poem titles is "To the Cisgender People I've Ever Loved," and how do I affirm myself after that breakup, after years of feeling I had to fit in a box or be perfect or live this hetero life and follow that direction, and knowing that I don't actually need to, and that a lot of it was our community is so magical. And if someone can't see that, then why should they be in my life? And I think that's a lot that I came to through this circle because of how healing this space was. So for me, it was tons of crying, going on a hot spring retreat with Jang to process and write out our poems and our work, and also being brave enough to do it because my peers were also doing such brave work. Everyone was healing through something. I felt it was grief for everyone that people were working through, and that allowed me to show up because other people were. And I think what I'm still figuring out what next for this next circle, but I think there's always something potent happening in my life that I need to work through. And so my hope is to really explore intergenerational trauma and substances and healing through that. And it's so funny because it's something that I hold a lot of shame and guilt to talk about, but not when I bring it to the circle. I know that I won't be judged and I will be loved for my healing process, which is so rare to have.
I just wanted to share about how I got involved in the circle and the project and all that. What you said really resonated with me, Irene, the whole navigating of shame and judgment and having the circle as a place to process and being able to witness everyone's bravery in the process of kind of healing. Yeah, the circle really meant a lot to me. I really am so glad that I joined the circle in the midst of a pandemic and quarantine. There was just so much going on at the time and there was so much grief out there, but also personally. And yeah, I don't think I would have really been able to get through the pandemic the same without meeting with the circle on a monthly basis. I felt really lost in kind of my creative process and what I was really using the art to share. It made me realize what my artistic process was and how lonely it honestly felt to just draw alone and not really share it with others who were also working on their own art. I think being given the space, Kirivit Cafe, to work through it made me realize how freaking messy grief is in trauma and how it can come out, and it can come gushing out, and being able to catch it all is extremely difficult, but it felt extremely possible when I met with the circle. Slowly but surely, it came together and I was able to draw out little portraits for everyone. It was honestly a refreshing practice to go back to drawing comics and little portraits for my friends who reminded me of just kind of what was possible and still out there. I think being Vietnamese and queer, there is a lot of shame that I was grappling with. And yeah, it felt extremely lonely, but being able to express that queerness and Vietnamese with others, it really changed how I see art making now. It's completely different. Making art alongside others or with others has really opened up my world. And now I don't feel as lonely at all. And I feel comfortable and safe to practice relationships and communicating and expressing my Vietness and my queerness in an unapologetic way because of the circle. And yeah, I'm super excited for what's to come. The more time I invest into other queer Viet people, the more excited and more energy I want to put into our success and our vibrancy and our dreams and our collective future together. And yeah, it gives me a lot of hope.
Hey, this is Phoebe speaking. I use the pronouns. I think really resonate with what folks shared so far about grief. That was a really big theme for a lot of different works, but not all works. My art style or format for this, for the past circle, was movement. So I did ribbon dancing, which is very flowy and very colorful. It's basically a cloth on a stick, but I'm moving it around. It was very fun just to experiment with something new in that. I mean, this year I'll be doing writing as well. And I think one thing to highlight about the circle is like, to me, it feels very limitless. I feel like anything is really possible when I'm in QDV Cafe, in this space. Not just like with the people here, but also with the potential of people beyond QDV Cafe that have yet to join. There's so much power and love within the space that makes it feel really safe and comfortable. Yeah.
Through everyone sharing, I think definitely I was working with grief like as well in my piece. And I feel it's a continual journey, and I feel for myself and maybe along with many others, we didn't know what our pieces were going to be when we entered the circle, and just being able to trust whatever come out is what needed to you know, come out in at that time and space. And how, yeah, I feel the collective grief and the collective holding and care that we were able to provide for each other, the vulnerability, the courage of it all too. And I feel we have been doing that, right? And then it's only becoming, I feel, stronger and more rooted, building that together. And I feel for me, it definitely take a lot to come to term of, am I an artist? Can I call myself so? Or I think decolonizing what that means for me as well. And I think for me at the core of it is, yeah, theater art is my first love and just way for me to express and share my full story and be in this space where time and space is not linear, right? And whatever that my body has been holding, that my mind, my heart and spirit has been holding, is a space of release, right? There's that grief, and then there's this collective holding and letting go of that grief and exploring also then what now there's that space and what do I want to invite into that space and what intention, you know, do I want to call in, right? So yeah, I think many of you shared that definitely the themes of grief that's there, and also the theme of our showcase last year was love queer, right? And there's so many iterations and play on words of how the theme was, right? So love way, loving homeland, love queer, you know, loving our queer, like trans bit excellent, and the way going to or returning to the homeland and queer returning or going back to queerness, I feel, which for me is this circle of coming back to our fullest self, right? Who helping and holding hands with each other. I feel envisioning this collective holding hands with each other in circle, which we did the day of too, just opening up the space together for us. And I think that is so important. It's reminding me grief is not a process in which, yeah, we go through alone, and having that space to be together and being able to work through it collectively and alongside with each other is so important and is so crucial. And yeah, it's a lot. I feel I say it's definitely a lot less and a lot more love. So yeah. Is there anything you want to share, or should we go on to the next question?
I can share really brief if that's okay. Yeah, my mom had passed in this lifetime, August 2018. And so I had been holding waves of grief from that. And I really wanted to explore themes of survival and death and grief, and what does it mean to come to peace with not being able to do things with your mom or your parent when they're not here anymore. And so I am semi-obsessed with food. And so my piece was kind of a multimedia piece. I had eaten my mom's jambon or meat floss, dried meat floss, and had smelt it. And my mom just told me stories about it, but I've never made it with her before. And up until her passing, I was really obsessed with cooking with her and wanting to learn all of her stories. And a year before she passed, she told me the story of her being a boat person and how jambon was the last thing that she cooked before she left on the boat, and was most likely the thing that allowed her and my brother to survive being out a week out in sea. And so a year before she passed, I asked her if she could teach me how to make it. And that day in this lifetime didn't come. And so my piece was exploring kind of the mini stories of growing up with Deba, growing up and trying to cook and do something when a loved one has passed. And ultimately it was a love letter to her, because I realized growing up I was very naive, and she didn't really say I love you very much, or she didn't really hug me very much. And so, but I realized that all of her cooking, all of her meals, those were her expressions of love. And so me creating this jambon and figuring out how to somewhat in learning from her ways, but in my own ways, was me trying to say, I love you back. And so that was my piece. And yeah, I'm still thinking about kind of the future pieces and what that'll be. But yeah, I'm going back and forth between what is Lily Mann? What is our mother tongue? What are the tastes and flavors of our moms and the femmes in our lives? And now, even though my mom isn't here in this lifetime, who are the moms and femmes in our lives that we want to remember the flavors and tastes from? And so I want to explore that idea and cook with other moms, other moms, sorry, moms of other cutie bits. I'm a mom. maybe not in the traditional sense, but also exploring things around, yeah, cutie bit sensuality and joy and tenderness and romance. So, but yeah, I think we can go to the next phase. We're going to be wrapping up soon. Can I ask the 6-year anniversary question to wrap up? Okay, so yeah, I'm just so grateful for you all for sharing. And I'm just excited for our continued friendship and our journey in creating more art and healing together. And so this August, yeah, marks the 6-year anniversary of Cutie Bit Cafe. And yeah, I think my question is, what do you hope for the next 6 years of Cutie Bit Cafe? What do you want to share with the next generations of queer and trans gay folks?
Yeah, I think when you asked the next 6 years, I was, oh my God, I was overwhelmed. But when I settle into it, I'm, yes, y'all, we are me. Of course, I want us to still be in community 6 years from now, lifetime. This is our community, right? And when you think about the next generation, I think a lot about the queer and trans Viet youth that I work with and how much they need a space. And I do just want to pass this message that we can be all our identities and not feel we have to dispose of anyone, and that we can create the spaces that we're looking for, and we can be the ancestors we've always wanted. That's where I'm landing. And I really feel that.
This is Jean. I really feel next generation. What? I'm so young. Don't count me out yet. It's what I'm thinking. But I do recognize that there are people younger than myself. And to those people, we're all in this together, right? I think one amazing thing about these spaces that we cultivate within Kitty Cafe, and I think really the reputation, is that we're very multi-generational. We don't leave people out. Within even planning meetings, there's so much conversation about, yeah, how can we be as genuine, as authentic, as considerate of all people as we can. Like, you know, the planning, the organizing is done in such like a deeply empathetic way where it's always about how do we open the space? How do we include more? And I really feel that is the vibe that is needed. I think I too work with very amazing, beautifully gifted, amazing young people of color. In terms of knowledge production, in terms of awareness, in terms of political education, I think it's people really have that. Young people have that. I think what is important, what I've really learned through the Kitty space, is honestly empathy and like compassion. And not to say that those qualities didn't exist before, but I think organizing with compassion, organizing in a deeply empathetic way, those are the things I really learned from the space. And it's so different. Here in the Bay Area, there's a bajillion orgs. There are so many orgs out there who do really amazing work. But I think the reason that, in spite of that, why I have still continue on, still very dedicated to this Kitty Bit space, is that even within so many amazing movement organizers and leaders, there's something very special about this type of space. I really feel part of the energy that I want to move forward towards, you know, perhaps people younger, people who would stand to learn something, is really how to organize in a way where it's not exhaustive, where it's really something where you can really honestly truly look to the people that you organize with and really feel, this is my people, they have my back, I can really depend on them for everything, even if it's just I need to talk to someone about something. It really feels that. I don't want to say family, because family has traumatized me, but maybe what family should be. Yeah, I'll end on that. But yeah, great. I really appreciate being a part of this space. I'll check here.
Hi, this is I, and thinking about the Circle and Kitty Cafe 6 years from now really excites me. Of course, you're right. I want everyone here to be a part of my life 6 years from now, and I want my relationships with everyone here to grow and be deeper, and I feel I'm still getting to know everyone, and it's great, because I feel you're so right, Jean. The way that everyone like relates to each other here is so receptive and open and inviting, and it's not exhausting at all when we meet and keep in touch and check in with each other, because we're so intentional, and yeah, we hold each other so nicely, I feel, and we give each other a push and encourage each other, and I learn so much from everyone all the time. It feels everyone has so much to offer. And I really think when we come together to make an offering to the greater public, people are in awe, as they should. We're incredible. And I want, and that's the way I felt as, I guess, someone who is one of the younger members of the collective. Meeting older queer Viet folks has been really eye-opening and, yeah, incredibly inspiring. And I can only hope to be that inspiration for the next generation to come. It gets me excited to think about. Older, wiser.
Yeah, this is Phoebe speaking. Yeah, I think this question is really interesting because it asks you to look 6 years in the future. And it's also, I'm one of like the youngest members in the circle. I remember when I was just 20 or something, and now I'm like 23. And I think about when you asked me to time travel into the future, I'm also time traveling in the past too. And so if you asked me 6 years ago where I would be at 17 until 23, it's, wow, I'm with Cutie Vic Cafe Collective. And that's how I want to be at in another 6 years too. I think something that I really take away from Cutie Cafe is the proverb of which is when you drink water, remember the source. And when you eat fruit, remember the tree. And we use this to connect to our ancestors back then. But I'm thinking about the third and fourth generation of Vietnamese people who will use a different phrase, but very similar to connect to us, specifically of this generation. I don't know what's the next phrase, but it'll be, I'm pretty sure it'd be pretty funny and interesting. And I'm thinking about the future generation who will come in a full force of, oh, it's difficult to balance tradition and now. And it's okay too. You can create whatever Vietness you want. You don't have to feel you're not Viet enough because you will always be Viet enough. And I want someday someone to ask me, oh, boy, Bang Phoebe, let's go meow at that one bar restaurant in that one street on District 2 of Vietnam. Let's go. So it's a funny question in English. Yeah.
Yes, let's make all of that happen. I'm remembering, Irene, when you joked around and you told me, I feel you just make the spaces that you want or you need, and then you invite your friends to it. I was like, yeah. I feel like connected to what Phoebe said, like that's, I feel that's my verse for myself, is I think what I want, and also maybe for, if you all, maybe you can relate in some way, is we create, or I think coming to accepting that self-love and self-compassion and creating the space that I can feel fully seen, fully loved, being able to experience all the joy and playfulness, right? And along with all the hardships that come up, being able to also feel, yeah, there are a community with me all around. And I definitely want that to be something that pushed me, continued to push me 6 years from now, but also wanting to pass that, being able to invite that energy for the younger generation as well. Is this space, I feel the Cutie Vic Collective space is, yes, it's unique to us, and it's also been created before with different generations, right? It's a continuation. So it's being able to offer this continuation to the next generation, whatever that feels fit for them, however that relates to them in that time and space. And knowing that it's possible to create something new, something that only them can create, right? Something that we continue to create for ourselves. So shout out to Irene. You always say like it's somewhat of a rose, but I'm just like,
show you how amazing you are. <I'm
just kidding. laughs> Yeah. I go amazing, huh? Everyone's great.
You're tuned into Apex Express 94.1 KPFA, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, and online at KPFA.
Thank you to Phoebe, Irene, Jean, I, and Paige for joining us. Hi, and Jang today for sharing so much wisdom. If you want to grow alongside us, join us today. You can follow us on Instagram at Cutievit Cafe and find us at cutievitcafe.com. Please check out our website, kpfa.org, to find out more about Cutie Vic Cafe Collective. Thank you, Paige, for doing all of the incredible background tech work. Let's continue to organize and get free together. Apex Express is produced by Nico Lee, Jolina, Keon Lee, and Paige Chung. Tonight's show was hosted by Jang and Hay. Thanks to the team at KPF for the support. Have a great night.
Apex Express. Asian Pacific Expression.
Community and cultural coverage.
Music and calendar.
New visions and voices.
Coming to you with an Asian Pacific Islander point of view.
It's time to get on board the Apex Express. We'll be right back.
Express, Asian Pacific Expression.
Community and cultural coverage,
music and calendar,
new visions and voices
coming to you with an Asian Pacific Islander point of view.
It's time to get on board the Apex Express.